Okay, we're beginning on the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Bet. The Gemara quotes from the last line of the Mishnah by Rabbi Yoshua. I'm Rabbi Yoshua, Asha Temet Taknim et Ashotot. Before you fix those foolish women, Bovetik Nuet Apikchot. Take care of those women that have their act together. Gemara says, Hane Shotot Ninu? Why would you call the women in this Mishnah Shotot? Fools. Doesn't make any sense. None of this is within their control. And the events or the questions that are being posed by the Mishnah are questions of an unusual circumstance, not something where the woman did anything wrong in these situations. Hela tnei to'ot. You should say instead of shotot, it should say to'ot. Whether that means that there should be an emendation to the Mishnah and read to'ot, where they have now a mistake. It's not really a mistake, it's a problem. They do not know any longer how to count their Yemei Nidah and their Yemei Zivah, because they had a citing Benesh Mashot, which throws them off. So that would be Toot. Or is the Gemara saying over here, leave the word Shotot in place, but the meaning of Shotot now is not to be fools, but rather Shotot is Toot, but more in the sense of things that are beyond the control of the individual. Just like a Shota doesn't have control over herself or what she does, so too over here, these are situations in which there's a lack of control over it, and it precipitates a problem that causes them to be told now where they don't know where their Nida count and their Ziva count is. So then the Gemara says, Ditanya. Now Ditanya is not a response to the previous line of the Gemara, but rather an description of what the Mishnah says, that Rabbi Yeshua says, why, before you worry about these unusual cases, why don't you worry about the Pikchot? So the Tanya is, these are the cases of the Pikchot, which are people who have a more normalized cycle, but it's the type of cycle that causes problems for the woman, and you have to figure out what exactly is going to be her situation given the circumstance she's found in. That would bolster this idea that the Pikchot are women with a fixed cycle, or where they present themselves with a recurring problem, as opposed to the to'ot or shotot, which seems to be some sort of haphazard type of cycle or unusual circumstance in which they had a sighting benesh mashot that throws off their count. So this is a more deliberate type of problem, and that's maybe why it's called pikchot, the tanya. And now we're going to have a series of cases, which I sent out charts that you can see to help you understand them. Otherwise, you can get them at the website, swdaf.com. Help understand the layout of what's happening here. Just to remind ourselves that a woman who has a sighting of Dam has 7 days of Tumah Mido Oraita. At the end of those 7 days, if she has a Hefsek Tara, then she goes to the mikveh on the night after the 7th day, and she is Tehora. Then she has the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. And during those 11 days of Yemei Ziva, if she has a sighting 1 day or 2 days, she has to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. If she has a sighting for 3 days in a row, then she becomes a Zava Gdola, which requires Shiva Nikiim. Now, this is a woman who has Yom Echad Tameh, Yom Echad Tahor. She has this cycle by which every other day she has a sighting of Dam. She has a sighting on day one. Day two, she has no sighting. Day three, she has a sighting. Day four, she has no sighting. And this goes on forever. It's a continuous cycle that she has. Then, this type of woman is Mishameshet Shmini Velelo Imo. She has the ability to be together with her husband on the 8th day, Vilelo Imo, and seemingly the way to describe it is, as Rashi says over here, the night afterwards, which means the night going into the 9th day, Va'arba Leilot Mitoch Shmona Asar Yom, and 4 other evenings out of the 18 days. The 18 days are a reference to the 7 days of Nida and the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. What it's saying here is that this woman, the way she presents herself on the first day when she has a sighting, she becomes a nida for 7 days. So then it really doesn't matter what she sees or doesn't see over the next 6 days, because those are subsumed in her Yemei Tumah of being a nida. So then until the 7th day, she is a nida. On the 7th day, she has a sighting, but by the evening, she's stopped having that sighting, and therefore she can go to the mikveh, and she is mutaret lebala on that night and onto the 8th day. And that's what it said, Mishameshet Shmini. Shmini over here seems to indicate that it's the night of the 8th and the 8th day itself. And then Leilo Imo means the night afterwards, which means the ninth day at night. But then by the time she reaches the ninth day during the day, she's already back to having a sighting. That makes her a Zava Kitana, because these are now into her 11 days of Yume Ziva. And therefore she'll have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. So the next day, the 10th day, she will not be able to be together with her husband, but by the evening, on the 10th day, she will be able to be together with her husband, but then, on the 11th day, she once again will have a sighting that will make her into a Zava Ktana, and she'll have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom on the 12th day. Then the 12th day at night, after she's finished her Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, she'll once again be Torah Lebala. But then, when she comes to the 13th, she has a sighting again, which makes her into a Zava Ktana. And then, on the 14th day, she'll be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. The 14th at night, meaning the night going into the 15th, she will be Muteret Lebala. The 15th day, again, she'll have a sighting, which will make her a Zava Ktana. And then, on the 16th day, she'll be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. The night after the 16th day, she will be Muteret Lebala, after she got to the mikveh during the day. And then, on the 10th day of her Yom Ziva, the 17th day of her cycle, when she has a sighting then she again is a Zava Ktana. On the 11th day of her Yom Ziva, or the 18th day of her cycle, she needs to be a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. And then, the next day, she will have a sighting, which will make it a Tchila Nida, which will start her cycle again, and she will have this continuous cycle. And what they're saying here is that the 8th day, the way we're interpreting 8th day means night and day, which is the day after her Nida, the night after her being a Nida on the 7th day, and then into the 8th day she is Muteret Lebala, and then Leilo Imo, and the night afterwards, which is going into the 9th, and then 4 other nights, which we already described here, which is the night after the 10th day, the night after the 12th day, the night after the 14th day, the night after the 16th day. All of those will be Mutarot, because they'll be after her being a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Although the truth is that there is an extra night where she does have the ability to be together with her husband, which is not counted, which is the night after the 18th day. The night after the 18th day, she is Mutarot the Bala, because she doesn't have a Tekilat Nida until the next day. And therefore, there is actually a 5th night that she is Mutarot the Bala. Rashi says that the Gemara didn't count it because it's outside of her 18 days. The 18 days of her cycle, the 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Yemei Ziva, this is already post that 18-day cycle, and therefore it doesn't mention it because we're saying here, out of the 18 days, she'll have the whole day of the Shemini, night and day, Leilo Imo, the ninth day, which is the night after the 8th day, and then you'll have 4 other nights, which we describe here, and the truth is, that's Mitoch Shmona Asar Yom, within the 18 days. The night after the 18th day, you will also be Muteret Lebala. The next morning, the 19th day, which is really the first day of the next cycle, will trigger a Tchilat Nida again. If her sightings, where she has these alternating days, one day of sighting, one day not, one day on, one day off, then if it starts the sighting at night, then all she has left is the 8th day and nothing else. Because now the nights that before she was able to be together with her husband because they were post her being Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. The problem is, instead of her seeing the next morning, she's now seeing that night. And that makes her into a Zava Ktana already by the nightfall. Therefore, she will not be Muteret Lebala. And any of those nights, the 4 nights that we mentioned before, the only time she'll be Muteret Lebala is on the night after the 7th day into the 8th day. That'll be the only time. So that means one day out of the 18-day cycle, she will be Muteret Lebala. And even after the 18th day, she has a sighting at night that becomes her Tchilat Linida. From here to forward, the Gemara, as Rashi says, assumes that all the sightings are at night and not during the day alone. And now it's going to go through a sequence of different scenarios. Shnei Yamim Tmeim, Shnei Yamim Teorim. If every 2 days she has sighting for 2 days, and then she's Tehora for 2 days, and then again, 2 days of Tmeah, 2 days that she is Tehora, and again the sightings begin at night, then Mishameshet Shmini, then she can be together with her husband on the 8th day, Shnei Masar, the 12th day, Vishishasar, and the 16th, Ve'esrim, and the 20th day. And the Gemara will ask in a question why there isn't an additional day in here, which we'll get to in 1 second. But just to explain, when she has her first sighting at the night before the first day, which really is her Tchilat Nida, she becomes a Nida now, and she has 7 days of Tumah. The first two of those days, she has a sighting. The subsequent 2 days, she has no sighting, which they are the day 3 and day 4, but they don't matter because they're during her 7 days of Yemei Nidah. Then in 5th and 6th day, she has sightings, but they don't matter again because she's still within her 7 days of Tumah. Then on the 7th day, she has no sighting, but she's still Tumeah, Tumat Nidah. At the night after the 7th day, then she can go to the mikveh and she is Torah for the next day because 7th and 8th day, she has no sighting. For day 7, which is her Nidah, she can't do anything but post that day. On the night after the 7th, which is the beginning of the 8th day, she goes to the mikveh, she's Mutar at the Baalah that night and the next day. On day 9, whereby she has a sighting on day 9 and 10, then that makes her into a Zava Ketana. And since she sees it at night, by the night after the 8th day already, she can't be together with her husband. And she's now out for the 9th and 10th day because she has sightings, make her into a Zava Ketana. And then she has to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. So that means on day 11, she is Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. And then she goes to the mikveh during the day. That night, post the 11th day, she can be together with her husband. And the next day, that's day number 12 that was just mentioned by the Gemara. But then right after day 12 expires, starting with day 13 and 14, she again has sightings that make her into a Zava Ketana. Therefore, she has to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, which she does on day 15. And on day 15, she goes to the mikveh at sunset on the 15th. Going into the 16th day, she will once again be muteret leba'ala on day 16, means the night of the 16th into the day of the 16th. That's the other day that was mentioned by the Gemara. Then on day 17 and 18, she once again has sightings that will preclude her from being together with her husband. She is now a zava kitana. And then going into the 19th day, which is already post her Nida cycle, because she has 7 days of Tumah, 11 days of Yimei Ziva, based on what our Gemara is saying now, she would not be able to be together with her husband on the 19th day, because she would be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. So even though you're outside of the Yimei Ziva, what seems from the Gemara here is that you still have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom for day number 17 and 18, where you became a Zavak Tana. You can't be together with your husband the next day on the 19th. After the sun sets on the 19th, which is you got to the mikveh and the sun sets, you had no sighting. Then on the 20th, she can be together with her husband again that night and the next day, the 20th. By the time she gets to the 21st, she's already having a sighting that night, which starts a tchilat nidah, restarts her cycle of the nidah. So that's what the Gemara just said here. Shnei yamim tmeim, shnei yamim tohrim, mishameshet shmini. She's able to get together with her husband on the 8th day. 8th day means the night before and the 8th day itself. Shnei masar, same with the 12th day. The night after the 11th and the 12th day itself. Vishishasar, the night after the 15th day and the 16th day. Vesrim and the 20th day. Gemara asks, Vitishamesh, nami Vitishtar. Why can't she be together with her husband on the 19th day? This is what I pointed out, that that's already outside of her days of Yemei Ziva. Yet the Gemara says that she has to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom on those days. Why should it be? She's already expired her Yemei Ziva. Yes, she had sightings towards the end of her Yemei Ziva, but now she's done with her Yemei Ziva. Why should she have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom? Amarav Sheshet Zotomeret. From this, I would conclude Gargaran. Gargaran is a Mishnah that we're going to see towards the end of the Masechta. That's not Asur. That we say in that Mishnah that a glutton is Asur, that is a reference to this situation. That is Beit Hillel, and that Mishnah says that a person who has a sighting of Dam on their final day of the Yemei Ziva, on their 18th day of their Yemei Ziva, 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Yemei Ziva, so the last day of Yemei Ziva is 18 days into her cycle, she has a sighting on that day, she becomes a Zava Ketana. And Beit Hillel says, a person who sleeps with his wife the subsequent day without waiting a day of Tara, and then she has a sighting while he has Bia with her, he is called a Gargaran, he's a glutton because he couldn't wait. He jumped the gun and was together with his wife. Even though what seemingly is post the Yemei Ziva, he shouldn't have to wait. Nevertheless, what we see from that Mishnah is that you do need to wait, and it's proper to wait. And now, based on what we're saying here, it's even asur to be together with one's wife on the day after the Yemei Ziva if you have to wait for a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, even though you're post the Yemei Ziva. Vashi Amar, Nihi dechadasar lo ba'i shimur, asiri mihu ba'i shimur. Rav Ashi says, maybe not. maybe don't have to say that that is the case, that this Gemara is supportive of what's said in the Mishnah further on, but this Gemara could be requiring the Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom after the Yemei Zivah, not for the sighting on the 18th day, rather on the sighting on the 17th day. Remember, this is a woman who has a cycle of 2-2. So her final sighting within the Yemei Zivah was day 17 and day 18. That means day 17 requires the Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, but you couldn't do it on day 18 because you had a sighting that day as well. So Rav Ashi suggests that the waiting or the postponement of his being together with his wife on the day 19 is not because of Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom for the 18th day, but rather it's a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom for day number 17. And so now the reason you're waiting is because day 17 has the possibility of having a Yom that would have been Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, which would have been day 18. Therefore, it's subject to the regular rules of Yemei Zivah. And since you couldn't do it on the 18th, you have to make it up on the 19th. As opposed to the last day of your cycle of the 18th day, where if you have a sighting there, maybe you would not have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, because there's no other day within the Yemei Zivah that could potentially be your Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Maybe there's no din of Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Rav Ashi just presents that as a suggestion because otherwise the halacha would be like Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is a Batra. He's one of the later Amoraim. Therefore the halacha would have been like Rav Ashi. But we don't see that. We see the halacha is like that Mishnah of Gargaran that we do wake you wait for the day after Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom when you do have a sighting or a Zivaktana on the last day of Yemei Zivah. So it must be that Rav Ashi over here is not giving a Pesach halacha but just making a point that this Braita is not necessarily supportive of the Mishnah later on. It is not necessarily saying that you have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom for the last day of Yemei Zivah. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that this Braita is not going to provide you that support because you have the possibility of explaining it here that it has to do with the sighting on the 17th day. Gemara says, Shlosha Yamim Tmeim, Shlosha Yamim Teorim. So the next cycle that we're going to discuss is a woman who has sighting every 3 days. She has a sighting for 3 days. Then she has 3 days with no sighting. 3 days with sighting, 3 days with no sighting. So once again here, the din is Mishameshet Shnei Yamim, Mishuv Ena Mishameshet Leolam. She'll be able to be together with her husband for 2 days. After that, she will never be able to be with her husband again. It's obviously a very tenuous situation. It's not a good situation for this woman because she has a sighting to begin her cycling of Nidah. And for the first 3 days of her Nidah, she has sightings. None of that matters because, again, she started her Yemei Nidah. She's in her 7 days of Yemei Nidah. The subsequent 3 days, she has no sighting, but they make no difference because they're still within the 7 days of Yemei Nidah. So the first 6 days are already covered. On the 7th day, she has a sighting again because that's the beginning of her third set of three. So that 7th day is part of her Yemei Nidah. Then the subsequent 2 days on day 8 and day 9, she also has sightings. But those are already into her Yemei Zivah. Since they're into her Yemei Zivah already, then she becomes a Zavah Ketana. Because she's now had 2 days of sighting during her Yemei Zivah. She needs to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Well, that will be the case with day 10, 11, and 12, where she has no sighting. Day 10 will be her Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. If she has no sighting on day 10 and goes to the mikveh, by then, the night after day 10, she is Muteret Bala, which is day 11. And day 12, she will be Muteret Le'Bahala, because now she has done a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, and she has now 2 days where she has no sighting. The problem really arises in the subsequent 3 days, which are days 13, 14, and 15, which are her fourth cycle of 3 days. When she has a sighting of 3 days in a row then, she becomes a Zava Gidola. She's now had 3 days in a row during her Yemei Zivah that make her into a Zava Gidola, and now she needs Shiva Nikiim in order to become Tehora. The problem is, she will never have Shiva Nikiim, because we know that her cycle is 3 days of sighting, 3 days of no sighting, 3 days on, 3 days off. The problem is, you'll never get 7 days in a row where she can have Shiva Nikiim, and that's what it means here, that after that, she can't be together with her husband forever. She gets those first 2 days when, after being Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom for being a Zavak Tana, after those 2 days, she becomes a Zavak Dola, and there's no rectification after that point, because she'll never have Shiva Nikiim. Arba Yamim Tmeim, Arba Yamim Torim, a woman with a cycle where she has sighting for 4 days, and then she has no sighting for 4 days, sighting for 4 days, no sighting for 4 days. she cycles through in that manner. Mishameshet yom echad, v'shuv eina mishameshet deolam. That woman can be together with her husband for one day, and then after that, she will no longer be able to be together with her husband. Once again here, the first 4 days where she has siding are subsumed in her yomei nidah. As soon as she's had a siding, she becomes a nidah. Then for the subsequent 7 days, she is tmeah. The first 4 days, she is tmeah. The next 3 days where she has no siding are still subsumed within her 7 days of yomei nidah. So she's still tmeah and she can't be together with her husband. She gets the day number 7, she is still tahorah because she has normally 4 days in a row where she doesn't see anything. So the first 3 days are subsumed there in nidah, but the 4th day will be day number 8. And therefore, on the night after the 7th day, she will go to the mikveh, and she'll be muter the bala that night after the 7th and the 8th day itself. But the problem then arises on day number 9 when she has a sighting, because she has a sighting then, day number 9, 10, 11, and 12, which are 4 days in a row. In those 4 days, there are obviously 3 days in a row. The first three are 3 days in a row during her yimei ziva. That makes her into a zava gidola. She needs shivanikim, which she never will get, because her cycle is 4 days on, 4 days off, 4 days on, 4 days off. The most she'll get are 4 days in a row, which she is nikia, and therefore she will not be able to ena mishamesha deolam. She will not be able to return to her husband forever, in that she'll get that one day, that one time, after her first setting of nidah, which she'll have the possibility of becoming muter de bala. From here to forward, she will be a problem that she's a zavak gdola that can't get out of being a zavak gdola because she does not have shiva nikim. The Balei Tosafot make a point over here, which is very interesting, based on the Gemara's assessment here of Arba Yamim Tmeim, Arba Yamim Tohorim. Mashma kan behedjo. Here from the Gemara, it sounds explicit that you only become a zavak gdola and you only don't need zaynikim until you see 3 in a row. As long as you have 3 in a row during your 11 days of Yemei Ziva, that generates a zavak gdola. And Tosafot says, velo to otam, not like those that follow Rav Sadia Gaon, who says that during your 11 days of Yemei Ziva, if you see any cumulatively, if you see any 3 days during your Yemei Ziva, that would be enough to trigger your Shiva Nikiim. Because here the Gemara seems to indicate that she becomes a Zavah Gedola only when she sees them on a sequential basis, when she sees them in a row, but not when they are dispersed amongst the Yul Aleph Yom. And therefore, he suggests that this is a good proof against that view of Rav Sadia Gaon, that you can aggregate the days of Yemei Ziva to make you into a Zava Gedola. And Tosafot says that our Gemara here sounds not like that. It sounds like here that you need 3 sequentially in order to become a Zava Gedola, which is the way that we paskin. Next scenario is Chamisha Yamim Tmeim, Chamisha Yamim Tohorim. She has 5 days of sighting, 5 days of no sighting, 5 days of sighting, 5 days of no sighting. Then Mishameshet Shlosha Yamim, she gets 3 days of Tahara, B'shuv Eina Mishameshet Deolam. Then once again, she's off limits for the rest of her life. That is because the first time she has a sighting, she becomes a Nidah. The first 5 days of her Yemei Nidah, she has sightings, but they don't matter because she's already a Nidah. So the first 5 days, she is Tmeah. The subsequent 2 days, which are the beginning of her next cycle of 5 days, there she doesn't have any sighting, but again, they have no bearing because they're still within the first 7 days of her Nidah cycle. So through day 7, she will not be able to be together with her husband. Right after day number 7, she's not seeing Dam anymore, so she can go to the mikveh that night, and she'll be Tohorah for the subsequent 3 days, meaning the remaining 3 days of 5 days Tahorah that she has at the tail end of her Nidah. The first 2 were subsumed in her 7 days of Yemei Nidah, but then subsequent 3 will be during your Yemei Ziva, and she will be Mutera de Bala. That's what it says here, Shloshe Yamim. For 3 days, she is Mutera de Bala, but after that point, she's in trouble, because for the subsequent 5 days, she will have sightings, and once she has 3 sightings in a row, she becomes a Zava Gidola, who requires Shivanikim. And so starting with day number 11, 12, and 13, 14, 15, when she has sightings, 11, 12, and 13 already make her into a Zavak Dola, because they're during her Yemei Ziva. Now she needs Shiva Nikim, which she will never attain, because the maximum amount of time that she is Nikiya for is 5 days. And so therefore, she can't ever become Torah from being a Zavak Dola, because she never has Shiva Nikim. Shisha Yamim Tmeim, Mishisha Yamim Tehorim. If she has 6 days on of sightings, 6 days no sightings. 6 days of sightings, 6 days of no sightings. Mishameshet Chamisha Yamim, she gets 5 days together with her husband after her first Nidah cycle, And then once again, she's stuck in the same bind that we've seen with the other women, that she then is a zavah gedola, and she can never get out of being a zavah gedola. So that is because the first 6 days, she has sightings, but those are yemei nidah. So we're indifferent to whether she is or isn't sighting, she is tmeah then. On day number 7, she's already begun the series of 6 where she has no sighting, but now day number 7 is still part of yemei nidah, so she can't be together with her husband. On the night after the 7th, she'll go to the mikveh. Then she'll have the subsequent 6 days, she will be tohora and muteret leba'ala, because she's completed her yemei nidah, the 7 days, and only one of those 6 days of which she is tohora are subsumed in her 7 days of yemei nidah. Subsequent 5 days, she will be tohora, because she's already used 1 day towards her yemei nidah, and then the subsequent 5 days she'll be tohora. That's what the writer said, that for 5 days she will be allowed to be together with her husband. Then starting on day number 13, where she will have a sighting, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, which are then the subsequent 6 days, at that point it won't matter anymore. She's still within her Yemei Ziva. She has the sighting on day number 13, 14, and 15. That makes her into a Zavah Gdola. 3 days in a row she has a sighting. She's now a Zavah Gdola. She needs Shiva Nikim to get out of that. Problem is that she never has more than 6 days in a row where she is Tehora. And since she can never garner 7 days in a row where she is Tehora, she will never get out of being a Zavah Gedola. And that's what the Gemara said here with regards to Shisha Yamim Tmeim, Shisha Yamim Torim, Misha Meshet, Chamisha Yamim. She gets 5 days together with her husband. But then, Shumeni Misha Meshet Olam. Once again then, she's now stuck after that point in time. Shiva Yamim Tmeim, Vishiva Yamim Teorim. You have 7 days of sightings, and then 7 days that you have no sightings. 7 days of sightings, 7 days of no sightings. If she is in such a cycle, Mishameshet Revia Yamea Mitok Kavchet Yamim. She gets 1/4 of the days out of a 28-day cycle. So in a 28-day recurring cycle, she will be Muteret Lebala for 1/4 of that, or for 7 days out of every 28-day cycle. The reason for that is that in her first sighting, she becomes a Nida for 7 days. But she has sightings for 7 days. But that's fine, because she's Tmea anyway as a Nida. And her sightings stop on the day number 7. So perfect, right as the day number 7, her Yemei Nidah expire, she no longer has sightings of Dam. And she begins her 7 days where she doesn't see Dam. So on that night, she can go to the mikveh, and she will muteret the bala for the subsequent 7 days. These are the 7 days, 1/4 of 28, where 7 days she will be torah the bala. So at that point, she is muteret the bala for the subsequent 7 days because she has no sighting. Then on day number 15, where she begins the next set of 7, where she's going to see 7 in a row, over there, she has 3 in a row, which are 15, 16, and 17. That makes her into a zavah gidola that requires shivanikim. So she can't start counting her shivanikim until she doesn't have any more sightings of dam. But over here, she won't stop that till day number 21. Because she has 7 days of sightings, 7 days of no sightings, then another 7 days of sightings. The first 3 of the days which were subsumed in her Yemei Ziva will make her into a Zava Gidola. But then not until day number 21 will she have stop having sightings of Dam. Then she'll have to count her Shiva Nikim. So she'll count her Shiva Nikim. Just as she finishes her Shiva Nikim, which are the 7 days where she has no sighting, she begins another cycle of a sighting of 7. So those shivanikim will get her out of being a zavah gedola, but she'll never have an opportunity to be together with her husband, because by the time the sun sets on that 28th day, where she could have been torah from zavah gedola, immediately she has a sighting starting her next 7 cycle, and she turns into a nida. So that's why out of the 28 days of her cycle of 7, 7, 7, 7, only 7 of them will she be muteret the bala, and that is when she resets to become a nida again. The 7 days after she is in Nidah, she's muteret the bala. The subsequent 7 days that make her into a zavah gedola are then cleared by the 7 days of tahara afterwards. But that's all she has, 7 days of tahara. She'll never be able to get together with her husband again until she then becomes a Nidah again and then becomes Torah from being a Nidah. That's when she'll be able to be with her husband. And that's why you only get 7 out of 28 days together in a situation in which she has a cycling of 7 days on, 7 days off. Now we move to the next scenario, which is Shmona Yamim Tmeim Ushmona Yamim Tehorim. She has 8 days where she has sightings, 8 days with no sightings, 8 days with sightings, 8 days without sightings. There, Mishameshet, Chamisha Asar Yom, mitoch arba'im v'shmoneh. She can't be together with her husband for 15 days out of a 48-day cycle. If you put together a 48-day cycle, and that 48-day cycle is important because that's what causes a cyclical start, in that over 48 days will have a certain outcome. Once you hit day number 49, you're starting that exact cycle again, and for the subsequent 48 days, you will repeat what you did during the first 48 days. What the Gemara is saying over here is that you have 15 days in which you can't be together. So once again here, she starts out being a nida. For the first 7 days, she has sightings since she's a nida. She's unable to become Torah from a nida after day number 7 because she has a sighting on day number 8. But day number 8 is the first day of her Yemei Ziva, which makes her into a Zavak Tana as well. And therefore, she'll have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom on day number 9. So that means that the first 7 days are out because she is a Nida. The 8th day is out because she still has a sighting, but it's during her Yemei Ziva that makes her into a Zavak Kitana. Then she has to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom on day number 9. Once she's done that, she's now Muteret Le'Bala. So that's 1 day into her second series of 8 where she will have no sighting of Dam. During the first series, she had 8 days of seeing. Now she has 8 days of not seeing. The first day is used to get rid of the problem of Zavak Tana from day number 8 in Bishomeret Yom Keneged Yom. That means she has the subsequent 7 days where she can be together with her husband. So she will have all the days from day number 10 through day number 16. Those 7 days, she will be Muteret Le'Ba'ala. On day number 17, where she begins to see again, she has a sighting on day number 17, day number 18. Those are 2 days in a row during her Yemei Ziva. Even though now she continues to see Dam for the subsequent days, they're already outside of her Yemei Ziva. She's already cleared out of her Yemei Ziva, and she continues to see Dam at this point in time. They won't make it into her into a Zava Gidola. So she became a Zava Kitana because she sighted on the day number 17 and number 18 of her cycle. But that was the end of her Yemei Ziva. When she has a sighting on day number 19, that's a Tchilat Nida. She's now started a cycle of Nida again. And for the subsequent 7 days, she will be Tmeya. But she's already had 2 days where she had a sighting, meaning that for the day number 17 and 18, she already had a sighting, and they were not included in her Yemei Nida. She has 6 more days where she has sightings, so this is a woman with an 8-day cycle. The first 6 of those days will be included in her Yemei Nida, where she has a sighting. Day number 7 will also be subsumed in her Yemei Nida, but she has no sighting on that day number 7, because that's day number 25, when she begins her 4th cycle of 8 days, which are 8 days where she will have no sighting. That day, it will be the last day of her Yemei Nida. That night, afterwards, she'll be Muteret Le'Bala, and she will then be Muteret Le'Bala for the subsequent 7 days. So now we're up to 14 days where she is Muteret Le'Bala, and we've gone through now 4 series of 8. Those 4 series of 8 make her reach day number 32, and up to day 32, she's had 7 days where she could have been together with her husband in the first 8 where she had no sighting, and again, 7 days in the second time that she has no sighting, she'll be together with her husband. Those are 14 days. Then on day number 33, where she begins now her 5th cycle of 8, and she will become Tmeya. Over here, she's still in her Yemei Ziva from her 2nd Nida cycle. And then she will see 3 days in a row, which will make her into a Zava Gidola in the 2nd series. And now she will need Shiva Nikiim. But she won't be able to get Shiva Nikiim until she finishes her 8 days where she has sighting. So the first 3 days make her into a Zava Gidola. The subsequent 5 days of sighting postpone her ability to get Shiva Nikiim. Then once she reaches day number 40, which she's completed now 5 cycles of 8, now she begins her 6th cycle of 8, which are Zayin Nikiim. She'll have to do Shiva Nikiim to get rid of her Zavak Dola. On the last day of those Zayin Nikiim, which is the 8th day, because she doesn't see for 8 days in a row, after she's completed those Shiva Nikiim, she'll have 1 day where she'll be Muteret Le'Bala. And then the night afterwards, of day 48, meaning going to day 49, she'll have a sighting of Nida and start the whole process of the 48 days over again, and she'll become a Nida again. So therefore, she has now 3 series of 8 where she has sightings, 3 series of 8 where she has no sightings. That gives you 6 series of 8 or 48 days. That's the cycle we're speaking about here. In the first 8 of Tahara, where she doesn't have a signing, 7 out of 8, she's Mutar the Bala. In the second series of 8 that have no sightings, again there she is Mutar the Bala for 7 out of those 8 days. In the third series of 8, where she has no sighting, 7 of those are for Yermei Nikiyim, Zayin Nikiyim, and only 1 out of those 8 days will she be Mutar the Bala. But that gives you the total that's mentioned in the Braita of 15 days out of 48. 7, 7, and 1. That gives you 15 days in which she is Mutar the Bala in a 48-day cycle. And the Gemara says, Hare Arbaisar Havu. How could it be that you're counting here 15 days? They're really only 14 days of a year. It's a major machlok between Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot, as that explained why the Gemara thinks that you have 14 days of a year rather than 15. I'll explain the Balei HaTosafot first because his explanation is a little easier. And that is that we said in the series of 8, 8, 8 that she's having over here, the first series of 8 pushed her through her first Yemei Nida, then into her Yemei Ziva, and then she had 8 days where she had no sightings, and she was able to be together with her husband for 7 out of those 8 days. But then on the third series of 8, the first 2 days were still during her Yemei Ziva. And we saw that on day 17 and 18, she has a sighting that makes her into a Zava Ktana. And then she has a subsequent 6 days of sighting that already start a new cycle of Nida. She has 6 days of Tuma where she has sightings that she's in Nida. The seventh day, she remains in Nida. But on that seventh day, we actually said that she did 2 things. Number one is she finished up her Yemei Nida. But we also counted that towards her Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Remember, she had a sighting on day 17 and 18 of her Yemei Ziva. And even if you believe that if you see on day 18, you don't need to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, Rav Ashi said if you see on day number 17, you do need to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. So where was she Shomer Yom Keneged Yom? So if I take Rav Ashi at face value, then I would say that you have 7 days of Yemei Nida. The last of those 7 days, she has no sighting on it, but it's still part of her Yemei Nida. So therefore, she's Asura for the first of the 8 days in her fourth round of 8 days. It's her second time where she's having no sighting during the 8 days, her fourth series of 8 days. The first of those 8 days, we already said, was for the seventh day of her Nida, and therefore she couldn't be together with her husband. But even for day number 2, she should not be able to be together with her husband because she needs to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. And that would drop an additional day away from day 7, in the second series of 8 that are Tehorim. Instead of being 7 that she's allowed to be together with her husband, it should only be 6. The first of those 8 days is the last day of her 7 days of Nida. The day after that, the second day, will be her Shomer Yom Keneged Yom for the sighting that she had at the tail end of her first cycle when she was a Zava Ketana. So she'll be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. And given that she is now Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, then she can begin to be together with her husband and only have 6 days left instead of the 7. So her cycle in 48 days will be that she's allowed to be together with her husband for 7 out of the 8 of the first series of 8 that she doesn't have a sighting. In the second series of 8 where she has no sighting, she'll only be able to be together with her husband for 6 out of those 8. Because the first of the 8 is the last of her 7 days of Yemei Dinda. And the second of the 8 is her Shomer Yom Keneged Yom for the 17th and 18th day where she had a sighting. And so she'll be together with her for 6 days. Then she becomes a Zavak Dola. And then for the third series of 8 where she has no sighting, 7 of them will be Shivnikim, and 1 day at the end, which will be Mutar the Bala. But then that is 7 plus 6 plus 1 is 14, not 15. So that's the Gemara's question according to the Balei HaTosafot. According to Rashi, the Gemara's question is a little more complex and really rests seemingly on the Shita of the Rambam. The Shita of the Rambam, which is different than many of the other Rishonim, we follow the other Rishonim, which is that the cycle of the woman is determined by the woman herself, which is that when she has a sighting of Dam, that begins her counting of Nida for 7 days. After she completes the 7 days, she has 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Once she clears those 11 days of Yemei Ziva, she does not become a Nida again until she has a sighting, until she has a Petach the Nida. So she sees Dam again, that seeing of Dam again will then start her Nida. The Rambam believes that a woman has a permanent cycle of cycling through 7-11, 7-11, which means that first 7 days she's in Nida, the next 11 days are Yemei Ziva. Then, right after Yemei Ziva end, those 18 days end, she begins 7 days of Nida once again, and then 11 days of Yumei Ziva. It's not when the woman cites Dam that she becomes a Nida again. She automatically is in her days of Nida right after she completes her 11 days of Yumei Ziva. She has 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Yumei Ziva. Now, if she has no sighting of Dam, she won't be a Nida. But if she does have a sighting of Dam during the Yumei Nida, that will make her into a Nida. Then the subsequent 11 days, if she has a sighting then you'll have the implications of having a sighting during Yumei Ziva. According to the Rambam, there's this fixed cycling of 7 days Nida, 11 days Yumei Ziva, 7 days Nida, 11 days Yumei Ziva, independent of when the woman is seeing Dam. It has to do with this automatic cycle that's happening, and the Dam just determines what type of Dam you are seeing. It does not trigger the Petach L'Nida like the other Rishonim believe. Rashi does something similar here and says that's what the Gemara's question is in this scenario. After the woman becomes a Zavah Gidola, Rashi says that you can't start a new Nida until you have Shivanikiyim. So Rashi, like the other Rishonim, suggests that the Petach L'Nida does not start again until you've cleared your Shivanikiyim. So you had your Shivanikiyim, then you don't begin the count of Shiva Yimei Nida. But, Rashi says, even though you don't start your Nida or Petach L'Nida until after you've already had Shiva Nikim, nevertheless, there is still a cycle of Nida that is running underlying all of this, even though you will not be a Nida because of the fact that you haven't had Shiva Nikim yet, and it doesn't make it a Petach L'Nida. Rashi says, she'll never become a Nida again until she's had her Shiva Nikim from being a Zavah Gdola. But there is an implication to those sighting of Dam, which is that the first 3 days should not count to her Zayin Nikiyim. That is that in her first series, she had 8 days where she had sighting, 8 days with no sighting. So those are first 16 days of the cycle. Then she began her another 8 days of sighting, the first of two of which are the last 2 days of Yemei Ziva, day 17 and day 18. Then she began a Nida cycle. That Nida cycle was 6 days of Tuma. And then subsequent to that, she had 8 days with no sighting. Then after she has 8 days of no sighting, she begins a series where she has 8 days, the first three of which are during her Yemei Ziva, make her into a Zava Gidola. On day number 36, she has now expired two cycles of Znida, Ziva, Nida, Ziva. That's because 7 days for Nida, 11 days for Ziva makes it an 18-day cycle. So day 36, she's now expired her second cycle of Yemei Ziva. That means that the Dam that she sees on day number 37, 38, 39, and 40 are really Dam that were the beginning of a Nida cycle. She can't become a Nida because she doesn't have Shiva Nikim. But nevertheless, what Rashi is saying, similar to what I described in the Rambam before, is that now you begin a new Nida cycle. It has no implications in terms of making you into a Nida, but does have implications in your ability to count those days for your Yemei Tahara. And that means on day number 37, 38, 39, and 40, where she has sightings of Dam, those 4 days she can't counter Shiva Nikim. But those 4 days are also the beginning of a new Nida cycle. This not neither her Nida cycle, but this continuous Nida cycle of 7-11, 7-11, there those first 4 days are from her Nida. That means that the subsequent 3 days are still part of her Nida cycle. And therefore, they should not be able to be counted towards her Shiva Nikim. And that means that at the point of day number 44, 45, 46, and 47, and 48, where she would have had possibly the ability to become Torah and have Zayin Nikim, she can't get the Zayin Nikim because she can only start counting the Zayin Nikim 3 days into her 8 days of Nikim. Because the first 3 days of her Nikim were caught up in this other cycle of 7-11, 7-11. And during days of Yemei Nida, you can't count those towards your Shiva Nikim. Your Shiva Nikim can only apply during your Yemei Ziva. And she had sightings of Dam for the first 4 days of her Yemei Nida, which are not going to make her into a Nida, but there are Yemei Nida. The subsequent 3 days count towards those Yemei Nida. She only has 5 days left, and she can't become Tehorah. She doesn't have Zayin Nikim. And therefore, that last day of the final set of eight, we said that there were six sets of eight of 48 days. That final set of eight, the first seven were Shiva Nikim. The eighth day was Mutar Labala. That made it that she had 15 days together with her husband. Rashi says that last day, she can't be together with her husband because she never got the Shiva Nikim. She didn't get the Shivanikim because of the fact that the first 3 days of those 8 days where she didn't have a sighting count towards her Nida cycle, the underlying running Nida Ziva cycle, and they can't count towards your Shivanikim. That way you only have 5 Nikim, and she never gets to be Mutarat the Bala before she has a sighting again that blocks her ability to have Shiva Nikim. That's how Rashi poses the question over here, that the day they want to drop is that last day of the 48 days, that's the one they want to drop to make it that it's 14 days and not 15 days. Tosafot, as we noted before, wanted to drop day number 26, which was the day that she needed to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, and that's in the second series of 8 that are Torim, the second day of that series of 8 that she's Torim, they wanted to drop that day, and that's how they got to 14 instead of 15. The Balei Tosafot asked numerous questions on Rashi, because, first of all, according to Rashi, there's no 48-day cycle over here, because the Shiva Nikim never worked in the 6th series of 8 days. You won't get your Shiva Nikim until the 8th time that you go through your Shiva Nikim, which is what the Rashi actually says. He says you won't get there until day number 63. Tosafot says that Rashi's 63-day cycle won't work either, because even then, the 63 days, it still won't get you to make Tara, because one of those 7 days of Shiva Nikim was part of the Yemei Nida, and it will take until 80 days before you come into a cycle where she can become Torah from her being a Zava Gidolah. According to Rashi, the Shita To, you will need 10 cycles of 8 before you get there to the point where she can go to the mikveh and be Torah from her being a Zava Gidolah, and not 63 days. He said Rashi wasn't so careful about that calculation, but even leaving that out, the Gemara makes it a 48-day cycle. Over here, you're making it into a 63 or 64-day cycle before she becomes Torah. That doesn't match what the Gemara is saying if you say that that is the question. According to Tosafot, he preserves the 48-day cycle. That's one question Tosafot has. Second question Tosafot has is, why did the Gemara only ask this on the 8 days on, 8 days off cycle? You could have asked the same question on the 7 days on and the 7 days off cycle, because also over there, you also have Shiva Nikim that fall out during what Rashi calls a Nida cycle. Because you Shiva Nikim that you have in the 4th series of the 7 days on, 7 days off, during those last 7, the beginning of those days already post Yemei Ziva, the first 4 of those days would be Yemei Nida, according to Rashi's cycling of 7-11, 7-11, and you should have asked this question on the previous series as well. The Gemara doesn't ask it there. So Tosafot says, first of all, it should have asked it on the previous cycle. Number 2 is the way that Rashi is describing it, the cycle should be 63 days, not 48 days. Therefore, Tosafot offers his alternate Peshat, which we gave first, because it was a little easier to understand. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Adar Bar Abba, Zot Omeret. From here you would conclude, Yemei Nidata, She'eno Ra'ah Bahen, days of Nida, where you have no sighting, Olin L'Sfirat Zivata. They count towards your Yemei Ziva. So for the Balei Tosafot, that means that when she had, in the 3rd series of 8, where she had sightings of Dam, we said that the first 2 days were during her Yemei Ziva, made her into a Zava Ketana. The subsequent 6 days were her Yemei Nida, and she was Tmeya. The 7th day of her 7 days of Nida, she has no sighting during that day. So what the Balei Tosafot are saying based on the Gemara now, is that 7th day, even though it's during your Yemei Nida, it also counts as a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Because she had no sighting on your 7th day of Yemei Nida, it can double to both be your Yemei Nida, the 7th day of Yemei Nida. It can also act as the Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom for the Zavak Tana that came from the series, the beginning of the 8 of these days. Day number 17 and 18, where you had a sighting, made you into a Zavak Tana, you can be covered for your Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom during that 7th day of Nida, because that Yemei Nida, you didn't have a sighting on that 7th day. Since you had a day that's Naki, it can double as a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. That's how Tosafot solves the problem, and that's why you have 15 days and not 14 days, because you don't need an extra day of Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom after you finish up your 7 days of Nida. They can overlap, and you can do them simultaneously. Count that as your 7th day of Nida, but also as your day of Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, because you had no sighting. For Rashi, it means that during those Shiva Nikim that come up in the 6th series of 8 days, even though the first of those 3 days were during your main Nida, but since you had no sighting during those days, they can double as your Zayin Nikim. And so for those 3 days, which are also the tail end of your main Nida, based on the cycling of 7-11, 7-11, 7-11, they still can also double towards being your Shivanikim, and therefore you do attain Shivanikim, and on the eighth day she can't go back to her husband on day number 48, because she got Shivanikim, four of which were during your Yemei Ziva, three of which were during your Yemei Nidah, but they were during your Yemei Nidah where she had no sighting. That's how Rashi deals with it based on the Gemara, that you're allowed to have double counting, which is days can count towards your Nidah and towards your Yemei Nikiyim, as long as during your Nidah you didn't have a sighting of Da. Now the Gemara says, Di Bailo, because we have the following question. Yemei Leida, Sheino Ra'abahen, Mahu Shialu, the Spirat Zivata. If a woman gives birth, and she is Yoledet Bezov, she gave birth, and she is also a Zavah Gidola, if then she needs Zayin Nikiyim, can her Yemei Tumah after birth count towards those Zayin Nikiyim? Remember, for a Zachar, she gives birth to a male, she's Tumeah for 7 days, then 33 days of Tara. Or she gives birth to a Nikiva, she has 14 days of Tumah, and then she has, subsequent to that, 66 days of Yemei Tara. If you remember the bright though that we saw back on Chavtet and the Gemara Amid Vav Lamed Zayin, when we dealt with the cycles where the woman is trying to become Tehora, and how many times she needs to go to the mikveh, over there we said that she cannot count her Shiva Nikiim during her 7 days of Tumah or her 14 days of Tumah. So that Gemara over there clearly believes that you can't double count, you can't count simultaneously, which is during your Yemei Tumah, the 7 days for a Zachar or 14 days for a Nekeva, you can't count your Shiva Nikiim. That's why the Gemara over there said that you have to wait to count your Shiva Nikiim till after you've cleared 14 days. That means for the first 21 days, she can't be together with her husband. The first 2 weeks, because maybe she gave birth to a Nekeva. And then the third week, because maybe she was Yoledet Bezov and she needs Shiva Nikiim. But you see there that you can't count them simultaneously. Here, the Gemara asks the question and brings a braita that seems to indicate otherwise, which is, the Yemei Leida, where she has no sighting of Dam, can they be Oleh the Sfirat Zivata? Samar Rav Kahana, Tashma. I'll show you from a braita, Rata Shnaim, if she had a setting of Dam for 2 days, and then on the third day she has a miscarriage, and she has no idea what she miscarried. Harizo, Safek Ziva, Safek Leida. Here we have a problem now. We don't know if she is a Zava Gidola or she gave birth. The truth is that there is actually a third possibility, which is neither. She neither gave birth, nor she is a Zava Gidola, and Rashi points that out. There's a possibility here that there is actually neither of these that happen, and that makes a third possibility, which causes some of the safek that you have here. Now, in terms of her being Yoledet Bezov, as Rashi points out over here, if she had a Leida now, and she had no Dam during the Leida, she had Tikha de Keber, she had a birth in which there was no Dam, it's called a Leida Yveshta, she had a dry birth, and therefore she had a birth without a ziva, because she saw for 2 days before, but on the third day, which was the day of her birth, she gave birth without having any sighting of Dam. So that would be a Leida without ziva. Now, if there was no Vlad on the third day, meaning that whatever she gave birth to was not considered a Vlad, she saw Dam when the Pticha de Kever, when the womb opened to discharge whatever it was, then she's a Zavah Gdola and no Leida, because then she had 3 days in a row of sighting of Dam during your Yemei Ziva. She becomes a Zavah Gdola. She needs Shiva Nikiim, but she had no Leida. Or there's a third possibility, which is if it was a Vlad and she saw Dam during the birth of the baby, that's a Yoledet Bezov. Now, even though normally we said before that when you have Dam because of Leida, it doesn't count as Dam Ziva. That's only when you give birth to a Vlad that is a viable entity. When you're Mapil, when you have a miscarriage does not cover the Dam that is discharged at the time of the miscarriage. And therefore, over here where she was Hipila, she miscarried that third day. If she sees Dam during the Leida, it will both be Dam Leida and count towards her Dam Ziva. And so therefore, she gives birth with Tikha de Kever that has Dam, then she will both be a Yoledet, and Yoledet Bezov. So she'll be both Leida and Ziva. So first of all, here we have three Sfeikot so far. One Sfeik is that possibly she's just a Yoledet, not a Ziva, where she had a dry birth, and therefore there was no third day of setting of Dam, but she had a Leida. Or it could be that she is a Zava Gedola without any Leida, and that's in a situation where she gave birth on that third day with dam, but there was no birth. It wasn't a vlad that came out. And therefore, she is a zavak dola without a leida. Or is the possibility that she gave birth to something that's a vlad, so it's considered a birth, but it was dam with the vlad, it makes her into a zavak dola, because that vlad doesn't protect the dam that came out as being just dam leida, because it was a miscarriage. And therefore, she will be a lioledet bizov. Now, there's also a fourth possibility, which is that she discharged something that's not considered to be a leida, but it was also yaveshta, it was a dry discharge. In that scenario, she has neither leida nor ziva. So those are the four possibilities of what the status of this woman is. She's left in this limbo state of safek, including the fact that she might have been a yoledet, she might have been a zavah gedola, she might be a yoledet bezov, and she might be neither of those, she might be nothing, she might be just tehora. So now, what does this woman do? Braita tells us, Mevia korban veinu nechal. She brings a korban and it's not eaten, because here you have a mimonofshach. If she's a zavak dola, she will need to bring a korban after shivin nikiyim. If she's a yoledet, then she'll also have to bring a korban for a leida after either 40 days for a zachar, 80 days for a nekeva. So mimonofshach, if she's a zavak or a yoledet, she has to bring a korban. So therefore, we'll bring a korban olah, a bird that's an olah, which can be brought as a nedava as well, and we'll make a tznai. She'll bring a chatat, because for both zava, gedola, and leida, she would need to bring a bird that is a chatat. But enu nechal, you can't eat it, because of the fact that there is that last possibility, which she was neither a zava, gedola, nor a leida. In that case, she wouldn't have to bring a korban at all. And so the problem is, when you do malika on the bird of the chatat, that makes it into a Nevela, if it's not rightfully a korban. Now you're allowed to bring a chatat oaf, ayudei safek, so we're not worried about chulin bazara, but we are worried about the kohanim eating it, if it really wasn't a korban that was necessary. Therefore she brings the korban, but it's not eaten. Now, that takes care of her korban. What about in terms of the days? Yemei leidata, she'ein ro'abahen, the days of birth, meaning the days of tumah, the 7 days for a male, or 14 days for a female, Olin la the sfirat zivata. They count simultaneously for her shiva nikiim. So you see over here that you have the possibility, just like we said by yemei nida, they can double when you don't have sightings of dam. They can also double as your shiva nikiim. So too, you have the same thing by yemei leida, that her days of tumat leida, if she doesn't have sighting of dam during those yemei leida, they can also count simultaneously as her shiva nikiim. Amra Papa Shani Otam. Who says that that's true over there? Kevan to Ikula Meimar, you let it Zachar he. Maybe she gave birth to a Zachar. V'chol Hani Shiva Yitera, the Karvinama, Salki Lala Spirat Zivata. Who says that she gave birth to a female? Maybe she gave birth to a male. So now she's waiting 14 days, because she has to wait a minimum of 14 days, because she might have given birth to Nekeva, because those are 14 days of Tuma. So now what Rav Papa says is, who says she really gave birth to Nekeva? She might have given birth to a Zachar. In that case, if she's having no sightings of Dam for those 14 days, the first 7 days are Tmeim because she gave birth to a Zachar. The subsequent 7 days will count as their Shivin Nikiim. And so then you have the possibility that she really is counting Shivin Nikiim independent of her days of Yemei Tuma for Leida. And then you can't prove from here that they are running simultaneously. Now, the truth is, according to Rav Papa, you also have the possibility that this woman gave birth to Nekeva. And she doesn't have Shiva Nikiim because she had to wait 14 days of Tumah, according to Rav Papa. That the Balei HaTosafot explain is that because it is a Sfeik Sfeika. There is a double Sfeik over here. There's a Sfeik whether she ever gave birth, meaning it could have been an entity that wasn't a birth, or it could be an entity that was a birth. If it was an entity that was a birth, it could have been a Zachar, it could have been a Nekeva. And so what Rav Papa says is you have a Sfeik Sfeik over here, and you go Sfeik Sfeika Lekula. So you have a Sfeik Sfeika Lekula, and you would say that the Shiva Nikiim count simultaneously with the second set of 7 days, because her chances of it being a Nekeva were only a Sfeik Sfeika, and therefore we allow you to count the 7 days of Shiva Nikiim in the second 7 days of the 14 days that she has to wait. So Rav Papa says you can't prove anything from here. Amalei Ravuna Breda Yeshua the Rapapa, Violetit Zachar, Ika the Svuke, Violetit Nekeva, Leka the Svuke? Okay, according to you, there's a possibility that she gave birth to a Zachar. And you're right, the second set of 7 days count towards her, Shiva Nikiim, But isn't there also a possibility that she gave birth to a nikeva? And if that's the case, then how do you explain this phenomenon? Elalav Shmaminah, you must come to the conclusion that Olin, that the 7 days of Yemei Tumah for her Leida can also, if she's not citing Dam, count towards her Shivinikim Shmaminah. So my proof is still in place. And as the Bali Tosafot note over here, Afal Gav Dahavi Sveik Sveika. Ravuna Bereder Rav Shua is saying, despite the fact that it's a Sveik Sveika, Mikol Makom, we have to say that in general, that it would work simultaneously to count your Shivinikim with your Mei Tumah, because otherwise we should have been Gozer Ato Baalma, to a case where generally you can't count them together. So in this scenario, we wouldn't let you count them together as well. Or the Bali HaTosafot earlier in the Masechta discussed back on Daf Aftet and the Lamedad, Lamedzayin, we discussed this a number of times, that the Bali HaTosafot over there say that we ignore all Sveik Sveikot over here, and that in Leida, all Sveik Sveikot are treated as if it's one Safek, and we still are Machmir for this Sveikot, even though they are Sveik Sveikot. Now that might be a result of what Ravuna Breda Yeshua is saying over here. That might be what triggers the Tosafot's view that Ravuna Breda Yeshua says, listen, even if it is a Sveik Sveika, you still gotta worry about that scenario. Since that scenario exists, if it was problematic in general to double count the Yemei Tumah of Leida together with the Shivinikim, we wouldn't let her count them in this case. The fact that we do let her count them shows you that in general we must believe that they overlap. But that means that he's treating a Sveik Sveik over here as if it is a normal Sveik. And for that reason, we wouldn't have allowed it to happen. And if we do allow it to happen, that's evidence of the fact that you can count simultaneously your Mei Leida together with your Shivinikim. So now the Tosafot on the bottom of the previous Amud asks an interesting question. And he says here, now that the Gemara learns over here that Yemei Leida and Yemei Leida are the same. Because the Gemara is saying that just like Yemei Leida can count towards your Shivinikim, so too Yemei Leida can count towards your Shivinikim. Then according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that when it comes to the Yemei Leida, where you don't have a sighting of Dam, meaning the 7 days of Tumah for Zachar, 14 days for Nekeva, you're not allowed to count those towards your Shivinikim. Clear that the Rabbeinu Tam is relying on the Braita that we saw back on Chavtet and the Gemara and Lamed Zayin, that they are not Olim. Then what the Bali Tosafot would say is, if your Gemara just made an equation between Yemei Leida and Yemei Nidata, then for the Rabbeinu Tam, the conclusion here in our Gemara should also be that Yemei Nida should not be able to be Ola the Shiva Nikim. And also according to Rashi, who said over here that Yemei Nida can't count towards your Zayin Nikim, then you have a big problem. He says, Ain't Takana the Nashim Bezmanazeh. Then how do our women today ever become to Orim from their being considered or classified as a Zavak Dola? Tabe Kulan Safek Zavot, we make them all into Safek Zavot Gidolot. And they need Shivinikim. And the problem is that part of those Shivinikim are going to fall out, possibly during their Yemei Nida. She has to wait a minimum of 5 days to start getting a Shivinikim. But that means the first two of the Shivinikim might already be during her Yemei Nida. Or if her cycle persists and she goes through 18 days and then the next cycle, how do we ever know, according to Rashi, where you're cycling 7-11, 7-11, how do we know that the Shivinikim that you're getting, or for your Zavak, being a Safek Zavak Dola, are not falling out during your Yemei Nida. So how do they then count towards their Shivinikim? So Tosafot says, for Rashi, it's not really a problem, because Rashi only said this in a Havamina. The Maskan of the Gemara is otherwise, and therefore Rashi, it's not a problem. But for the Rabbeinu Tam, who says this, even the Maskana, by Yemei Leida, that they can't count towards your Shivinikim, same should be true with Yemei Nida. And if that's the case, how do we ever have Shivinikim if you have the Safek that these are Yemei Nida now? And how do we know you're getting Shivinikim during Yemei Ziva? So Tosafot says, Rabbeinu Tam Nami, Yemei Nida Davka in Olim, Aval Yamim Haru'im Olim Shapir. So Tosafot says in the end that what the Rabbeinu Tam would have to say is that Rabbeinu Tam, like by Leida, it's not these are days that could be Tumat Leida, but they have to be days that are actually Yemei Nida. It's not these theoretical days of Nida, like Rashi was describing in his Havamino of the Gemara. They have 7-11, 7-11, 7-11, like the Rambam, that they just keep cycling through. It's not potential days of Nida. What the Rabbeinu Tam says is that the Yemei Leida and the Yemei Nida cannot be Ole the Shivinikim when they are actually Yemei Leida, and when they are actually Yemei Nidah. So if you give birth and you have settings of Dam that make you now Tmeah for Leidah, then those days of Leidah cannot count towards the Shemini Kiyum because those are real days of Leidah. And similarly, by Nidah, if you have a sighting of Dam that makes you into a Nidah, then you can't count your Shemini Kiyum if you really are a Nidah. But if you are not a Nidah, and it's just this theoretical cycle of 7-11, 7-11, even the Rabbeinu Tam will agree that you can count your Shemini Kiyum during that period of time. And that's how our women will get their Shemini Kiyum, although it will possibly cause a Chumrah, which is that, according to this view of the Rabbeinu Tam, if you have a sighting of Dam that would have made you into a Nidah, and now you really are a Nidah, and you're counting your Shemini Kiyum, you can only count those Shemini Kiyum if it's not Yemei Nidah. Maybe you need to wait longer before you can start your Shemini Kiyum, which is cited by some of the poskim that you're not allowed to count your Shemini Kiyum until after 6 days, and then there's even a Shita after 7 days. So many of the Rishonim dismiss that as being incorrect, and that we only wait 5, which is already a Chumrah, and nobody has to wait 6 or 7 before they share their Shemini Kiyum. But according to this view of the Rabbeinu Tam, there might be a reason to wait for the 7 days to elapse before you count your Shemini Kiyum, in order to be sure you're not during your Yemei Nidah, really during your Yemei Nidah. Right now, the Gemara goes to the last two of the cycle, which are, if a woman has a cycle of Tisha Yamim Tmeim, Tisha Yamim Teorim, 9 days on, 9 days off. She has 9 days when she has a sighting, 9 days where she does not have a sighting. The Gemara says, Mishameshet Shmona Yamim Mitoch Shmona Asar. Out of the 18-day cycle, she gets 8 days. Remember that the 18-day cycle is a natural cycle. It is the 7 days of Nidah, the 11 days of Yemei Ziba. And here, this woman is singing a series of 9. She actually adds up. Every series adds up to 18. So she has 9 and 9 is 18. So she's working within that cycle of Zayin Yemei Nidah and the 11 days of Yemei Ziba. What happens to this woman in the cycle of 9 is the first 7 days where she has sightings, she is a Nidah. Then for the 2 days afterwards that she continues to see, that makes her into a Zava Kitana. She has 2 days in a row during a Yemei Ziba. She'll have to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. So day 10, she'll have to keep the Tahara because of day 8 and 9 where she had a sighting. Then after that, that day she goes to the mikveh. That night, she's Muteret Debala. And for the subsequent 8 days, she will be fine because the first day she needed for Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. The subsequent 8 days, she doesn't have a sighting. She's Muteret Debala. By the time she gets to the end of those 8 days, she's now completed 18 days. She's outside of her window of Yemei Ziba. When she has a sighting on day number 19, she's now in Nidah again, and it starts the cycle over again. And in that case, she will have, out of 18 days, 8 of those days she'll be Muteret Debala, and then she'll start her cycle again, and it'll be a cycle of 18 days, by which each 18 days she gets 8 days together with her husband. The final one is Asara Yamim Tmeim Asara Yamim Teorim. If you have 10 days that she is Tmeah, 10 days that she is Tehora, in that case, Kimei Zivata, Shimei Shimusha, the amount of times she's allowed to be together with her husband, are the days of her Ziva. V'chein the Meah, V'chein the Elef. This type of cycle will result in the same outcome for anybody or any number. And that is because here when you have 10 days in a row in which she has a sighting, the first 7 days she's in Nidah, and it doesn't matter. The subsequent 3 days are during her Yemei Ziba. Those 3 days make her to a Zava Gedola. She now needs Zayin Nikim. So she has that, because now the next 10 days, she has no sighting. For the first 7 of those, they will be her Shemini Nikim. The latter 3 will be Muteret Debala. She will then at that point be allowed to be together with her husband for the subsequent 3 days, because she's got her Shemini Nikim from being a Zava Gedola. And now she'll be together with her husband for 3 days. But at that point, she now starts a new cycle, because she has a sighting on day number 21. That already makes her into Chilat Nidah, because she's now outside of her Yemei Nidah and Yemei Ziba, and she'll start a Nidah cycle again. What the Gemara says is the amount of days that go into her Yemei Ziba will determine the number of days she gets to be Tehora. So over here, 10 minus 7 is 3. That means the amount of days that she is seeing during her Yemei Ziba are 3 days. Those 3 days will precipitate the necessity for 7 days of Nikiim. And then 10 minus 7 is that you have 3 days left over at the end that you can be together with Baala. So it's 10 minus 7 in the beginning, give you the amount of days that she has sightings during your Yemei Ziba. That's 3 days. And then 10 minus 7 in the back end, which has no sighting, 7 days for Yemei Nikiim. And then the remaining days, she is tohora. And that will work with any number that you use. If you have like 100 days where she has sightings, and then 100 days where she has no sighting, the 100 days, the first 7 of those days, she is a nida. The subsequent 93 days, she's now a zavak dolak. She saw 3 days in a row during her yimei ziva. But those 93 days, she can't count her sivin nikiim, so she'll be away from her husband for those 93 days. But those are 93 days during which she is in her yimei ziva, quote unquote. Then, when it finishes up those 100 days, she begins her 100 days where she has no sighting. The first 7 days she needs to keep as her shivin nikiim. And then the subsequent days, she's mutar de bala. So that again will be 100 minus 7, which is 93 days. So just like she has 93 days of sightings while she's a zavah gedola, that too will result in her having 93 days of which she is Torah. And the same will apply to any number that you do. You take minus 7 for the days of sightings, which are the first 7 days where she's a nida. The remaining days are during her yemei ziva. Those days will equal the number of days she will be mutar de bala, because after she finishes off her days of sighting, she will begin the days where she has no sighting. The first 7 of those will be dedicated to the shivin nikiim. The subsequent days she will be mutar de bala. So again, it's whatever the number is, minus 7 gives you how many days of yemei ziva, and then the number where you're not sighting, minus the shivin nikiim, gives you the number of days she's mutar de bala, and that number will always be equal. And with that, we complete the 6th perek, Hadron Halach, Ba Siman. Right now we begin the 7th perek. Dam nida ubasar amet mitamim lachim umitamim yeveshim. The blood from a nida and the blood from a mate have a din of tuma, whether they are moist or whether they are dry. That will be as opposed to what we're going to see the upcoming items in the Mishnah, where they will only be mitame when they are lach, not when they are yavesh. They only have tuma when they are moist, not when they are dried out. That has to do with the mayanot, which we said before. Mayanot azav, mayanot anida, where they have discharges of liquid from that which is determined to be a mayan, where they pool beforehand and then they're discharged. Those items have dinim of mayanot and they are tameim. But those mayanot are only tameim when they are moist, not when they are dry. As opposed to basaramet and damnida, which are mitameh, even when they are dried out. How dried out, we'll see on tomorrow's daf. Maybe there is a threshold by which they get so dry that they also will be teorim. But nevertheless, generally, they don't have that limitation of only when they are moist do they give tuma. Now, as far as dam and nida is concerned, this is not the woman herself. This is the dam that she discharges. It's not clear whether dam nida is the dam that she discharges tmeya because it makes the woman into a nida, and therefore only dam that makes her into a nida will be considered dam tamei or dam nida as far as tuma is concerned. Or do we say that these are independent issues? And that is that dam can make the woman tmeya, but the dam itself also has its own inherent tuma independent of the woman. So even if the woman does not become tmeya, for instance, if she had a midoraita discharge without a hargosha, she didn't feel it. Or if the dam came out from a cesarean section, from a operation, not through the vaginal canal. Or the dam came through a piping, a catheter that was put in, and the dam was discharged through the catheter, and therefore never went through the Beit HaRechem, and it doesn't make her into a nida. Nevertheless, will the dam still be classified as dam tamei because it came from the mekor, and it is dam nida? So that is a chakira that the Achronim discuss. Many of them, including the Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Chazon Ish, lean towards saying that the dam nida is tmeya, independent of whether it makes the woman into a nida or not. It is inherently dam nida, and therefore it has a din of tuma. Now, how closely correlated the dam nida and basar hamet is a discussion amongst the Rishonim. We'll see in tomorrow's daf that there's certain qualifications of basar hamet, and the question is, do those qualifications also apply to dam nida? Or dam nida and basar hamet, even though the Mishnah groups them together here, they're not absolutely alike. We'll discuss that in tomorrow's Gemara when we deal with the qualifications of basar hamet that the Gemara deals with. The Gemara says, about hazov, the discharge of zav, vehaneya, as Rashi says over here, that is the mucus that comes out of the nose, varok, and the saliva out of the mouth, vehasheretz, and a sheretz, one of the eight shvatzim that the Torah says is tameh, vehanevela, and nevelot, kosher animals that die without shkita, or non-kosher animals, period, they have a din of nevela, vashichvat zera, and semen, mitamim lach ve mitamim yveshim. They only convey tuma when they are moist, not when they are dry. Ve'im yocholim lashrot, if they dry out, but if you soak them, v'lachzor l'kamochein, they will return to their former state, then they are mitamim lachim or mitamim yaveshim. Then they are mitameh, whether they are lach or whether they are yavesh, meaning that that type of dried out is not dried out enough to take away their shame tuma, because they can be reconstituted. And if they can be reconstituted, even when they're dry, they're considered as if they are moist. V'kama ishriyatan, how long do you soak them to determine whether they come back to life, quote-unquote, whether they regain their status? You do it b'poshrim, in warm water, made late for 24 hours. So you have to soak it for 24 hours in warm water. If they reconstitute, then they are considered, even when they're yaveshin, to be like they are lachim, and therefore they're mitamei lach v'yavesh. If they cannot be reconstituted, either just with hot water or just in 24 hours, then they are considered to be yaveshim to the point where they no longer convey tuma. There are those that suggest that even if you reconstitute it in a manner that's not done by this test, that they would still have tuma. The only point is that when they are dry, they would not convey tuma if they can't be reconstituted by this test. Which means that if you could reconstitute them by soaking them for longer or putting them in hot water, it might be while they're dry, they're not able to convey tuma. But if you do reconstitute them and make them liquid, they would be conveying tuma. Others suggest that once you reach that point of dryness, even if you reconstitute them, it would not convey tuma any longer. Rabbi Yossi Omer, basara meit yavesh, if you have flesh from a mate that is dried out, veina yachol ashrot ulachzor lekamochaya, and you can't soak it and return it to its former state, it is tahor, and we'll have to see why Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakama with regards to basara meit. May I ask, how do we know that this is the case? Now, the way that the Gemara seems to be asking the question is, how do we know that Dam Nida is mitameh, both Lach and Yavesh? That seems to be the basic question of the Gemara. Rashi throws in an additional aspect of this, which is, how do you know Dam Nida is mitameh b'maga u'b'masa? So it is a given that the Gemara assumes that Dam Nida is tameh, meaning that there is either a lachol moshe Sinai or some Kabbalah that is Tameh. Question is, what type of Tuma? If you want to make it that it's not just Tameh Lach, but also Yavesh. Or if it's not just regular Tumat Maga, but also Tumat Masa, that's what the Gemara is searching for in terms of Mnahane Mile. So the Pashtuta Gemara is that it's looking for, how do you know by Yavesh as well? Rashi adds on, also, how do you know by Tumat Masa? Because that's also an elevated form of Tuma. How do we know that Dam Nida also has that elevated form of Tuma? So Amar Chizkia, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, by the end of the Parshia, Perek Tet Vav in Vayikra, Vadava ben Nidata, Vazav et Zobo. And so the Gemara says, Adava ben Nidata, Madve kemota. That Dava ben Nidata, Dava is the discharge of Dam, ben Nidata, which makes the woman into a Nida. So there is a hakesh between the Dam and the Nida herself. Madve, the Dam discharge, kemota, is like her. Mahi mitama, af madveh mitama. Just like she causes tuma, so too does the dam that she discharges causes tuma. So for Rashi, that means that not only is it tumeya, but it also is mitameh maga umasa. Now we have ashkan lach. That's true if it's moist, because that's the way she discharges it. Yavesh minolon. How do I know that even dried out dam has that? Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Kro, the pasuk says, yeah. By the Parshia of the Nida there, it says, Visha kitiye zava, dam ye zova bivsara. So, iye, over there is, behaviato yehe. It retains its status no matter what. That means whether it's liquid or whether it's dry. Veina hamni mile belach, menase yavesh. Maybe that's only true where it was once moist and then it dried out. So in that case, maybe it would have maintained its status, because iye means behaviato iye, it remains with its status. But that's because it originally had a status of moist, and it doesn't leave that status even when it dries out. Yavesh mi ikaro, mi nolan. If it's dried out from the outset, how do you know that that is also subject to tuma? Vitu, hat's not. Now, over here, vitu, it's not clear what exactly the Gemara is doing. Tosfot over here says, tema, dainu hayu kushya gufayu. The Gemara is about to bring a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is basically asking the same question, which is certain things that are dried out, Mikara, we're saying that they have Tumat Nida, and we want to know where that's from. So Tosfot says, what does it mean, Bitu, and more so? Bitu over here doesn't mean more so. It's the same question, just being repeated in a Mishnah. And he says, V'chiteima, so he says it's a what if. If you want to say that Enochanami, that Yavesh Mikaro is not Tameh, because we don't have a source for that, you can't say that because I have a Mishnah that says otherwise. That's one way to read it, Vitu. Vitu is adding on the fact that you can't conclude that, yeah, you know what? Yavesh Mikaro is not Tameh. It's not true because we have this Mishnah. Or, Inami Yesh Lomar to Yavesh Mishuneh. That over here, the cases that we're going to bring in the Mishnah are not only dried out things, they're dried out things that have unusual consistencies to them. And even that, how do we know that that is Tameh? That would be Vitu. Adding on top of it being dried out, not only is it dried out, but it's this unusual consistency. That's not, because we saw this again earlier in the Masechta. A meh pellet, kamin klipa, a woman who discharges something that looks like a shell. Kamin afar, looks like dirt, earth. Kamin se'ara, looks like a hair. Kamin yabchushim adumim, it looks like red, whether it's mosquitoes or bugs. Tatil damayim, all these items which are clearly dry discharges. You put it into water, imni mochu, if they dissolve, tameh. So, minolan, how do we know that these items also are included? And here these are either according to the first version in Tosfot, these are yavesh mi'ikara, and we see they still are tameim. Or to the second version in Tosfot, not only these are dried out, but they're unusual items that are dried out, and nevertheless we say they are tameim. How do you know they're tameim? Iye ribuyehu. Not only is iye that it retains its status, iyeh is an extraneous word, which is a riboy, and says that we include all of these things. Anything that is zalva, that is discharged by the woman, will be classified as dam nida, or any zalva dam that comes out of the woman, iyeh zalva, will be classified as being a discharge of nida, or blood of nida. We'll have a din of tuma that is associated with the blood of the nida. Imahu osem mishkav moshav litame adam ulitame bigadim. So just like she makes things that she sits on, things that she lies on, into a high level of tuma, and out of tuma to the point where if someone else interacts with them, not only will they be tame when they come into contact with them, their bigadim will also be tame when they come into contact with the mishkav moshav of the nida aftama. Let's say that her blood too, nami osa. Mishkavo Moshav Lutame Adam Lutame Bigadim. So that her blood will also have the same impact of creating Mishkav and Moshav, that if it lands on top of something that it sits on or lies on, then it will also make them into an Avatuma to affect the person that touches them to be Mitame Bigadim. Atu Damar Ba Mishkavo Moshavo? Wait a minute, why would you even think that? Mishkav and Moshav relate to people or things that sit and lie down. The Adam doesn't sit or lie down, so why should Tumat Mishkav Moshav be relevant to the Adam, which doesn't sit or doesn't lie down? Ulutameich, according to your reasoning, Eben Minugat, a stone that has Tzarat on it, but Mishkav Moshavi, that also is not something that sits or lays down on things, yet the Itztrich Kralim Ilutet, we still need a pasuk to say that it's not Mitameh, Bimishkab im Bimoshav. Titania, we have a brighter. Yoko de even minugat osa mishkab umoshav litame adam litame bigadim. I would have thought that an even minugat, a stone that has tzarat in it, that it would be mitame mishkab in moshav to be mitame adam litame bigadim. Basically, it is an avatuma, and through mishkab moshav, it would create an avatuma as well. Bidinu. And it makes sense as a kavachomer. Umazav, tumata zav, she'eno mitame bibia, he doesn't affect a person when he walks into the same house. If you're found in the same house as a zav, you're not tame tumata zav. He doesn't have tumata ohel that's associated with the zav. Osem mishkav moshav, yet he still is able to create tumat mishkav moshav at such a high level that it's litame adam, litame bigadim, that if you come into contact with that mishkav moshav, you are tame, and your begadim come to me. He makes them into an avatuma. Emim nugat, a stone that has sarat associated with it, shimitama bibiyah, that does have that impact. Sarat has the same impact as the mitzora. Mitzora has a din like a mate, that the mitzvah that enters into an ohel makes everything in that ohel tamei, just like a mate that goes into an ohel makes everything tamei. And similarly, nigaim, even that has a nega on it, if it's taken into a house, like that of a basara mate, it will make everything in the house tamei. So since it has that high level of intuma, in udin shemitamei b'mishkav moshav, the tamei adam, the tamei b'gadim, certainly it should have the high level of tuma b'mishkav moshav. If it has tumat piyar, tumat ohel, which is a higher level than zav, then certainly it should have the tumot that are associated with the zav, b'mishkav moshav. Tamalomer, the pasuk says, asko mishkav, asker ishkav alav ha zav. A zav, velo even abnugat. So over there we learned that mishkav only has a relationship to Zav himself, exclusively, not to an Eben Amnugat. But what you see from this is that even though a stone doesn't sit and sleep, nevertheless, you would have thought it has Tumat Mishkav Moshav, and you need a Pasuk to exclude it. And so if you need a Pasuk to exclude that, then the question by Dam Nida is a relevant question. Does Dam Nida have a din of Tumat Mishkav and Moshav? Gemara says here, HaChanami Amarkra. Also over here, by the Nida, you can say the same thing, which says, Imala Mishkav, who? Oal HaKli Asher Hi Yoshevet Elav in Agobo Yitmad Arif. So you see there, there's Tumat Mishkav, is Asher Hi Yoshevet Elav, that she sits on. And Gemara says, He Velo Dama. We have the same meal like by Zav. It's her. The Nida herself creates Tumat Mishkav and Moshav, but the Dam Nida does not create Mishkav in Moshav. So the Ron thinks here that the Gemara is concluding that things that are not Bar Moshav and Mishkav don't have a din of Tuma. And that's what it thinks here with regards to the Eben Menugat. That's what it thinks with regards to the Dam Nida as well. Therefore, since they are not Balei Chayim, they're not things that do Mishkav Moshav, they're precluded. That means that they don't have any Tuma whatsoever with regards to Mishkav or Moshav. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot over here say that how do you even know that a Mitzorah and a mate don't have a din of Mishkav and Moshav. And they say it's also excluded from this din of Zav over here. So for them, you see that the exclusion is not because they are not a Mishkav and Moshav, rather because there's a miut of Zav. And the Rabbeinu Tam therefore concludes that a Mitzorah and an Eben Menugat don't have a din of Mishkav and Moshav like a Nidan Zav, where they make the item into an Ava Tuma, but they do have Mishkav and Moshav to make it into something that has Tuma Kala, a lighter form of Tuma, to be Metamei Ochlim and Mashkim. And so there is Mishkav and Moshav, just in a lower form of Tuma. They can say that because they don't think that it's precluded because it's not Bar Mishkav Moshav. They think it's excluded from the Pasuk. So excluded from the Tuma Chamurav Zav, but that doesn't mean it's excluded from Tuma altogether. And therefore also over here by Dam Nida, it will not create Mishkav and Moshav at the higher level, but it will create Mishkav and Moshav at the lower level. I mahi mitama be'eben misma af madva nami mitama be'eben misma. Maybe you would think, just like the Nida has a din of Tumat Eben Misma, which I'll explain in a second, so too the Dam Nida also has a din of Eben Misma. Amar Ravashi, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Venosei Otam, the one who carries them, which is written by the Zav, Konogev Asher Yitachtav Itmad Arif, Venosei Otam, Yechabes Begadav Rechatz V'mayim Tamei Ad Arif. Otam is a miut, and that Otam tells you that only these items have a din of Eben Misma, not Dam Nida. Rashi over here explains Eben Misma as being something that is very big and heavy, that you're not normally nosei, that you don't normally carry. So Rashi sees Eben Misma as being a derivative tuma of nosei, masa, carrying of things. And that's why, according to Rashi, there's a hava mina here that Eben Misma should apply to Dam Nida. Because even though the Gemara has already excluded Dam Nida from Mishkav and Moshav, it hasn't excluded Dam Nida from masa. And that we already saw. Rashi said that was the original question of the Gemara, Menahani Mile, that Dam Nida affects Nigiyah and masa. So he thinks there is tumat masa. And since he thinks Eben Misma is a derivative of Masa, therefore there's a Havamina here that Dam Nida, even though it was excluded from Mishkav and Moshav, should still be subject to the din of Eben Misma. Eben Misma is an item that's not normally carried. It's such a heavy stone, such a big stone, that it's not normally carried. Even though it's not normally carried, if there is a Zav or a nidah on top of such a stone, the items that are below it are tmeim. Rashi seems to indicate it's tmeim from tumat masa. And the question is, does that have application by dam nidah as well? And the answer of the Gemara is an osei otam. Otam, meaning the zav and the nidah, but not the dam nidah itself. That's how Rashi learns every misma here. Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbat, when he speaks about every misma, describes it differently and says, it is a stone that is up on stilts. It is a frame that is put up, and there's a heavy, heavy stone sitting on this frame. Below the stone in the frame are items that are underneath the stone. So the stone's not nearly sitting on those items, but those items are beneath that stone. If a zav or a nidah sits on top of that stone, they are mitameh items below. That's what Rashi calls Evan Misma in the Gemara in Shabbat. And Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbat claims that that's learned out of the Pasuk Yud, we're calling Ogei Asher Yeh Tachtav Itma, and that the Riboy of Kol Asher Yeh Tachtav Tachtav, anything below him will be Tameh, even though it's not supporting him, even though the weight of the rock is not on those items, and the weight of the Zav is not on those items, but because they are Tachtav, they are included. So that's Rashi's other interpretation as to what Evan Misma is. And over here, we precluded or excluded because of an Osei Otam Miuto. That's Rashi's view of what Evan Misma is. There then, the Balei HaTosafot over here say that Evan Misma is not a derivative of Tumat Masa, but rather, Evan Misma is included Mikol Mishkav, we call a Mishkav, Ersher Yishkav Alav Azav. Kol Mishkav means that it is a derivative of Mishkav Azav, and the kol is a riboy to include more than just Mishkav, even Evan Misma. Now again, Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosfot Shita Tam will say that the reason Evan Misma is because of Mishkav and Moshav, as we said before, that even though there's a posuk precluding Mishkav and Moshav by Dam Nidah, that only precludes it from the higher levels of Tumah. There still is this Tumah Kala, and that's what the Gemara is asking about now. Is there a Tumah Kala of Evan Misma, like a Mishkav and Moshav, by the Dam Nidah? And then we need this additional Miut to take that away. And so Tosafot describes it as a situation in which you have a stone that is so heavy that when the other weight is added on top of it, there is no change or you don't feel it anymore. So for instance, if the foot of the individual with Tahor was under such a stone that was so heavy that if the Zav himself then got on top of the stone, it would make no difference. The person wouldn't feel it because the stone is still heavy. Still, that foot that's underneath that stone that the Zav's on top of will make the individual Tameh. So even though the foot of the Tahor is not really acting as a Mishkav or Moshav for the Zav because of the fact that he doesn't feel their weight, he doesn't bear their weight because the stone on top of his foot is so heavy already that whatever's added on top doesn't make a difference. In that scenario, kol mishkav eshei yishkav alav azav, that kol comes to include even Evan Misma, that there is tuma in that scenario. Now Tosafot, who then says that it's associated with mishkav and moshav, now runs himself into a problem because the Gemara over here, when it comes to exclude Evan Misma, says vanosei otam, excludes it from tumat masa, similar to what Rashi seems to be indicating, that it's a derivative of masa, not a different of mishkav and moshav. And Tosafot says that throughout Shas, that's what it sounds like, that Evan Misma is Tameh because of Tumat Masa, not because of Tumat Mishkav and Moshav. So then how do I reconcile with the fact that the Torah Kohanim and the source Pasuk for Evan Misma, according to Tosafot, it's called Mishkav Asher Yishkav Alav Azav, and yet it's called over here Masa. So Tosafot comes to a compromise solution, which is the Ish Lamar, that what the Shas calls Masa is not literally where you're lifting something up, like in the typical sense of Masa, rather where the hand or the foot of the Tahor is under this rock, and the Zav or the Nidah is sitting on top of the rock, even though you're not really carrying them, it looks like you're carrying them. So Masa, in the end, is not really Tumat Masa, where you have to actually physically carry the item. It has to be a setup in which you are below the item, which is Tameh. So over here, where you have your foot or your hand underneath the stone that the Zav or the Nidah is sitting on, it looks like you're carrying the Zav or the Nidah, even though you're not really carrying them. And therefore, it is identified with Tumat Masa, even though there's no literal Masa that takes place over here. And that's how Tosafot reconciles with the Gemara calling it Tumat Masa, even though it's really a derivative of Tumat Mishkav and Moshav. The Rosh Mishan, Masechet Kelim, gives a third possibility of what Evan Misma is. That's based on his view that when it comes to tumat masa, that it's not enough that you carry the item, you have to actually move the item. And same thing with tumat hasait. When it comes to tumat hasait, it's not enough that you're in contact with the item, but you actually have to move the item. The chiddush here, by having mismai, is that by zav, the din of having mismai is that you don't have to move it in order for it to be considered tumat masa. Eben Misma says that even if you're just underneath the item and the masa is above you, that's enough to make you tameh, even though you actually were not mezizit. And that's the chiddush of Eben Misma. And that's what the Gemara is entertaining over here, which is that even though you're not moving it, maybe it should be tameh tumat masa. That's what the Gemara excludes from an osei otam, that only these items, the zav and the nida, where you don't move them, do they have this din of tumat masa? That's not true by dam nida. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph.